Good evening, traveler. As you find yourself walking down the path, dark path, full of a lot of uncertainty. The road, more of a game trail than anything at this point. But it is still there. There is a path there. Where that you are walking along. Other little creatures have scurried along in it before, whether that be little jackalopes or maybe little hobgoblins. Who knows? You hear the roar of some torrent. You see some golden fish jumping through the water, making its way up this insane waterfall, just like proportionally out of control, like full 90 degree tilt. I mean, we're talking about just like, wow, how's this little golden fish gonna make it? And it keeps on jumping up, climbing almost like a ladder, it seems almost. Is it crawling? I don't know. I don't know how it's dealing with the water pressure. Eventually, it makes it over the top, and you see this ray of flash, and this giant serpent-like red thing flashes off into the distance, and another Sachi is born. Wow, that was cool. You keep finding your way through this game trail, and getting cut up maybe by some thorny bushes. Walking forward on this path, not really sure where it's going, but knowing that you gotta get to this destination, you gotta get to this place, you gotta get to this new place of rest, stability, because this isn't a place of rest. These pointy plants hurt. Got sharp thorns. Scary noises. I don't know what those little, what the heck that serpent thing drove off is. I don't know what, I just saw a fish go up a freaking 90 degree angle. What? Well, dealing with this uncertainty, you keep taking one step at a time forward, right? That's how you keep walking. Come back to those basics. And while you might not be at that next plateau and the next grassland and enjoying the grass kingdom's stability and sustainability and pleasure at wherever that respite is, you come across some weird looking inn. A little more worn down. Maybe a palace at one time. Definitely a shack. Definitely a shack.
The roof is slanted.
Yeah, oh yeah. No, the whole foundation slanted. Let's be real about it. You see the will of the wisp dancing around as you make your way in, sit past the sign that says tavern post in. And you start hearing the rustling and bustling of a nice little inn full of warmth, to the smell of myrrh and tobacco in the air. Maybe is that amber? Oh. You look up behind the keep. You see a tired, worn down face, but a face that even tired and worn down shines with the most magnificent resilience and the most beautiful, infectious smile. There, behind the keep, is the wonderful, the kind, the compassionate, the smart, the dealing with the migraine, the not tired at all, the scandalous, Samantha.
You're too kind. That was great. I really enjoyed that journey. However, I do have a question, Tal.
Yeah.
What is Asachi?
Asachi is from Japanese folklore.
Oh, cool.
It is a carp that has a dragon head. And eventually, it makes its way back up its homeland, the river. And once it makes it up with the waterfall, it transforms into a dragon, allegedly. And that's one of the birth origins of dragons.
That is really cool. I've never heard of that before.
It is. I know about it from my time at the Japanese Friendship Garden in Phoenix.
Ooh.
But it's also, I think, the legend behind magic carp.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Oh, speaking of, I caught two today.
I got a shiny one.
Oh, you got shiny
one. I do. I have two shiny. I have a red one and I have a gold one.
We stand Pokemon Go here.
Yeah, oh, it's the only thing keeps me walking. Sometimes when I get lost on that path, I just keep following the Pokemon.
You know what? Pokemon will lead us to salvation someday.
I mean, yeah, that's why Mew's my favorite. I grew up on the Pokemon generation, for sure. No, I'm definitely a Pokemon generation folk. I cried in that movie as a child. Mm. I cried in that movie as an adult.
Facts. Big same. Big same. Thank you so much for that beautiful intro.
Thank you. I'm happy to have you here. I'm happy to be in this rambunctious place. I'm happy to be in a space where we get another week to meditate on a new question.
Me too. As am I. How are you today, Tal?
I'm doing okay. Life is hard, as you know. We are still in the dog days of winter. Some big life transitions are coming up, both exciting and difficult ones. But just like I kind of went with that leading that meditation right there, even though there are certain uncertainties happening right now and different transitions happening, I see a lot of that effort and that growth in the people that I surround myself with. And even when it's hard, I can still see a lot of beauty in that. I don't know if that makes me psychotic. Because things are really hard and things suck in a lot of ways right now. And I'm dealing with some of the most probably stressful challenges that I've had to deal with in my life. But at the same time, because of some of the other challenges that we've gone through, which I'll talk about later in this episode, it makes it so easy. Because I'm just like, oh, well, I just deal with this now. Instead of when it's in perspective, right? When you have a forced perspective shift in life happen, it really can change a lot of things. For good or bad.
That's very true.
Change is just change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Change is inevitable. No matter what we do, we can't control it, you know.
As long as we're tied to this linear time.
Yeah, exactly. We're not wizards yet.
Dun, dun, dun!
Yeah. I feel it.
What has been your recent bright spot?
My recent bright spot? I think I'm really looking forward to... It's things that I can look forward to right now.
Things on the horizon, always good things to keep you moving forward.
Yeah, which has been this weekend for sure.
Oh, yeah. Going to be a good weekend.
It has been a very long
week. I mean, this episode will be released after the weekend happens, actually. That's true. So we can talk about it openly right now.
We can talk about it?
Yeah.
So, Traveler, our wonderful host, Tal the Journeyed, has decided to propose to my best friend, Danny, this weekend.
No, yeah, it's going to be a really exciting opportunity, actually. It's going to be a moment that I've been with Danny for 5 years now. They have been with me through a gender transformation. Mm-hmm. They've been with me through an actual serious long-term breakup with another partner. They have been with me through serious financial hardship. They've been with me through a transition in how I define my recovery and my post-healing journey. They've really helped me grow in a lot of really ways, and I like to think that I've really helped them grow in some really important ways too. I'm very lucky to have found someone who's willing to take it one step at a time with me on this journey, and I'm very, very, very excited to be able to continue to learn what that means to grow my family, especially because you are part of my family. I didn't get a choice in that. Well, you were inherited. So luckily inherited. I'm so happy that I get both you and Courtney as a part of that chosen family for sure. But, I'm very lucky to have someone who just wants to show up for me every day and is willing to do the hard, scary things, even when things are loud. And, to be able to have someone take the time to show up for me, you know, that's what matters to me. Like all I do is someone who is, has been self-described in the past as demisexual, polysexual, all that stuff, right? And has done their fair share of, trying to find connections out there. To be able to take the moment to actually be able to connect with the person who is continuing to show up with me in that journey and wants to show up with me in that continued journey, I'm very happy to be able to take a moment to honor them.
I'm very happy for you both. I'm very excited for you both. I'm so grateful that I get to be on this journey with you both, and I've gotten to get to know you pretty well the last, I'd say, like, year. We've really solidified like our friendship, like when we first met.
Independently,
yeah. And that's been really nice.
Because you were always like, from the first time we said hello, you were always a part of like her group and like in that chosen family. But like, I would really say the past year, your 18 months, you know, it's really, really, like you said, especially as we've gone on our own descent together, right?
Yeah.
And I think having this creative outlet together has really helped us, really, like you said, I consider you family at this point. So.
Hell yeah. You can't see a traveler, brother. But I went for a fist bump, and Tal said, you know what, I'm going to hug your hand, and I really enjoyed that. Hugged my hand with their hand. It felt like a hand hug.
It might have felt like one, but it was more of like a wraparound. Like, I don't know what that was. It wasn't a hug. Like, a hand hug is, like, I can do a hand hug. Or no, like, here, go like this.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Where you do a high five. Yeah.
I just, like, full, like, octopus.
That was an octopus.
Yeah. Like, I clawed you, actually. I think that's, like, a claw hand right there, you know? It was a self-defense move, realistically. I was like, oh, she's coming for me. What do I do?
Oh, God, what do I do in this situation?
You know, I think I misgendered myself about 2 minutes ago on the podcast, so I gotta defend.
I gotta fix it all.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm very excited for you both. It's, you know, I know that things have, you both have faced a lot the last, about, like, 18 months or so, like, a lot of huge changes, moving to a new state, getting into new routines, literally moving your family, leaving behind a lot of familiarity and life that you both created together, and obviously, like, independently, your whole life in one area, and you both decided to bring it up here, where, you know, you get to reestablish new roots and you get to create new life. And, you know, ultimately it led to, you know, it didn't lead up to a couple of hardships, but like some hardships did follow suit, and, you know,
well, life happened.
Yeah. Life happened. Happened.
Right.
Yeah. And
the move was a catalyst for that change. Life was going to happen regardless. We were dealing with plenty of shit still in Arizona.
Yeah. Like, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. 100%. No.
It just changed the color of the color. It just changed the color. That's it.
It changed the environment.
Yeah.
And I think being able to see and witness you both going through these big changes and these big life events and handling it with such grace for one another and for yourselves, like, I've been able to see how much you both have grown, and seeing your love and your care for one another and those that you choose to be included in your family has truly been an honor to be able to be just a witness to. And now I get to be a part of, you know, this big moment that's going to be taking place in 2 days, and you know, I'm very excited for that. I can't wait to see Danny's face.
No, it's going to be exciting. She's going to have an actual, like, mental breakdown.
Oh, 100%.
That's just for very intentional reasons. It's not even the engagement. It's because she gets to see Courtney.
Yeah. I'm bringing a box of tissue for
her. Exactly. It's not like being able just to make sure she gets a chance to see Courtney is going. That's what the real gift this weekend really is.
Yeah.
The ring's just a bonus.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The life commitment to one another is just a bonus.
And that's,
you know?
and that's exactly what it is. It's a commitment, right? And that's how because I am very vocal about my opposition to the state mechanisms and what commitment means in the eyes of the law. And those, because I don't agree with a lot of the systematic things, I'm very open about how I view those things, I think, on the show. We have taken the time over 5 years to what that means and like grow and actually answer those conversations together, right? And I want to mention that to the traveler, right? It's through a lot of like very, very hard, long conversations.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like showing up for someone, making that active choice to grow with them, right? When dealing with some of these existential things and some of the uncontrollable things of life, right?
And choosing to be vulnerable and supporting one another and yourself in those vulnerabilities.
And choosing what it means to grow, those, you know, truly the sacrifices that come with that, the gifts that come with that, the blessings that come with that, right? It is very intentional over that, like, step-by-step journey of, like, what it means to show up for someone every day. Because, like, ultimately, I think, like, that's what marriage is for me, right? You know, and, like, looking at, like, what a commitment to someone because like in showing up every day for them and learning how to love what they want to become.
Mm-hmm. And helping fostering an
nurturing
environment.
It. Yeah. Nurturing
an environment to help your partner continue to grow. It's
a gift.
Yeah. It's hard. It's a gift. It is so hard,
but it's a gift
because, you know, you're two separate beings, and, you know, choosing to be in a life, long commitment with one another.
Well, committing to, beautiful. Yeah, committing to love what they're going to become.
Yeah, exactly. You're committing to, grow with them. To who they were, you're committing to who they are, and you're committing to who they will be.
Yeah, and like I think that she's earned it more than right.
Yeah.
I think it's all right that she has put effort and commitment into that that no one else has. So yeah. She's not through a lack of effort on my effort for giving people 100,000 tries sometimes, but she, through her flaws and her perfections, shows up every day.
Every day, yeah. And it's so beautiful to be able to, like, watch you both kind of, like, you know, I mean, I get you both separately and together a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And it's just so, it's so nice and refreshing to, you know, hear you both talk about, you know, one another with such love and, like, even the frustrations and, like, hear one another talk about your, like, your own celebrations and your own frustrations with yourself. And it's just, you know, it's beautiful to be able to be a part of and see.
Always. Yeah. We always try to come from a place of compassion, right?
Always.
That's always the goal.
Compassion is key.
But I think that we're getting notified that we're on a slight timer here, so I think we should go ahead and get to the...
oh, God, you're right. Yeah.
I think we should get to the question of the week here.
I agree. So, on the note of vulnerabilities, Tal...
Well, Sam, let me pose you and the Traveler a question here. On the note of vulnerabilities, I think that we both have something that we can very much touch into on this, and I hope, Traveler, wherever you're at, this is a safe place for you to be able to touch into this too as well. Samantha, Traveler, when was the last time you cried? Why?
I like the why, too. So, Traveler, if you don't know, we do have a Discord that we kind of chat in, and I'm intentionally being better about being active in that.
There's three people that are active. There is no activity. No. There is me and two other people that regularly, and then you stop by and say and answer some of the questions here. It is those two people who shall remain nameless at this moment. They're the other two people sitting in this bar with you right now, and they are the real MVPs of this. I don't know if they've ever listened to the show or not, but they participate in every question of the week.
They really do.
And let me just tell you, if either of you are listening right now, we love you so much.
Truly. I answered this in the Discord. However, I have a new answer now.
Okay.
So my original answer was, like, I think, like, last week or something like that. And my new answer is literally this morning. As Tal had mentioned, I've been fighting a migraine. This week has been really difficult for me. Chronic pain does suck. Chronic pain is no joke. It is debilitating. It is frustrating. It's really difficult to balance life and chronic pain, being in school, working, fostering relationships, nurturing relationships. It's a mental, physical challenge. And so when Dani picked me up this morning, got in the car, and she's like, "Are you okay?" And I said, "No, I'm not." And immediately started to cry. And it was out of frustration, and it was out of, like, my physical discomfort, and it, you know, it just kind of all welled up, you know, and poured out via my eyeballs.
I think that, one, when dealing with physical pain, just as dealing with emotional pain, giving you the space to break down is part of the healing journey. And recognizing that instead of holding on to that in those moments is really hard to do sometimes.
Absolutely.
Because we all want to be Mr. Tough Guy, right? We all want to be Mr. T, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, and everything like that, and being able to grit it out, especially when dealing with the invisible illnesses, right?
Yeah.
Giving yourself that space to be able to be like, "No, I'm not okay." Mm-hmm. That's how you fucking move forward. Yeah. Being able to accept the situation is be like, "Okay, I'm not okay. What do I do about it?"
Yeah, and, you know...
And sometimes it's just crying.
Yeah, sometimes it's crying, and it's also acknowledging, like, you know, getting to work and being like, "Hey, I'm not okay. Is it okay if I leave early?" And, you know, being able to do that at work in general is just, you know, a luxury. But also, as human beings, we have to listen to our bodies, and, you know, we know our limits. And if we continue to push ourselves the way that, you know, society wants us to, humans are just going to be so sad all the time.
Well, it's how we break down.
Yeah, it's... what leads to...
We're not machines.
No, we're not. We have functionalities as human beings. We feel things. We experience things. We think things. And
I think it's really important. That's why it's like destigmatizing crying, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're hurt. It's okay to cry. We are... As far as we're aware, humans are the only species that cries the emotional reaction.
Yeah.
And then do it. we do that. So then do it. Not emotionally. They sing. There's plenty of things that cry.
Yeah.
But like we have not been able to correlate that to emotions with them.
Yeah. They change their pitches,
their frequencies. Yeah, they'll get depressed songs. Yeah. They get depressed songs for
so
sure.
So heartbreaking.
Yeah, you can actually hear the differences, and it's wild. If you ever hear one of those recordings of like the differences between the whale calls, they can be heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But I think like these, like, again, maybe this will eventually be proven out that like other animals, because like I'm very big on demystifying the differences between humans and animals in general. But to our knowledge, it is a pretty unique thing to have an emotional correlation between crying and that do it. Yeah. Do it, traveler. We do it for a reason. It's okay.
It's okay to cry.
It's part of life. Having that release, which is hard to do as someone who has struggled with crying in the past, giving yourself that release so you can be present and then move forward is truly how you develop individual resiliency to like deal with it and get through and be okay.
Absolutely.
Because if not, you're going to hold on to it and just keep breaking down.
Absolutely. And that's not going to be good for yourself. It's not going to be good for anybody involved. It's just, it's okay to cry. It's healthy to cry.
What was the best part of crying for you this morning?
It just kind of helped relieve a little bit of pressure off of myself, because it was kind of that, okay, I am acknowledging that I'm not okay. I'm acknowledging that I do need to take it easy today. And I struggle with acknowledging that. So it was really nice for me to do that to myself and like allow that space for myself in that moment. And obviously doing it with Danny is, you know, just, yeah.
That's why we make safe places for each other, right? Yeah,
exactly. So Tal, question to you. When was the last time you cried and why?
Well, I had a few tears the other night, but actually it wasn't a real full on cry. That was kind of just an emotional release when I was talking about some life stuff with Danny. Mm-hmm. When she kind of, she broke and she showed me her other ring she got me, so.
She did?
Yeah.
So. Oh, man.
And I was just like, I didn't even ask her. I was like, okay, you can trust me. Yeah, I was like, this is for you right now.
Wait, what ring? What ring did she show you?
Oh,
she did?
Yeah. It's really sweet.
I cried when she showed me.
Yeah. That's why I had a few. And that's why I want to acknowledge it. They were happy tears. But the last time I cried, would have been about 2 weekends ago now. When I was back in Arizona, right before I got my tooth fixed, actually, traveler, my dad kind of checked in on me and just was like, it was the weekend after we put Cookie down, and
literally days after.
Yeah, just like 2 or 3 days after, and I talked about how I'm proud of Danny, you know, breaking down and not being okay, and like actually admitting that to me. I'm so proud of how she's handling this, because it's the most she's ever admitted to me that she's not okay in a lot of these situations, right? I talked to him about how hard it is to put down a baby, you know, and how much it sucks, how much breast cancer sucks. And in that car ride, I cried in front of him. And it's probably the first time I've ever cried in front of my dad since I was a little kid.
How did that leave you feeling?
There's nothing that makes me cry like losing a baby. It is the first thing that got me to cry. I actually talked about it probably on The Descent, actually.
Yeah.
About a decade ago. When we lost Sandy. She was my childhood dog. And she was the first thing that I cried in my sobriety.
Yeah.
It was the... And then... So seeing how I reacted to it this time, and being able to allow myself to actually just let myself cry when those emotions came up, instead of having to finally just get to that point of breaking down when I heard the Rainbow Bridge poem with Sandy, made me really proud. Being able to have those moments of vulnerability and those intentional safe places. I'm not just breaking down in front of anyone. I'm breaking down in front of my dad, right?
Yeah.
Which
is a big thing.
I'm not just breaking down at the airport, right? You know, or even if I did, it wasn't a mindful, or like, for instance, you know, on the day when we last Cookie, you know, Danny broke down outside of it. I was more invalid in that moment, right? But, you know, I'm confiding in my safe places, I guess is what I should say. I'm confiding with my trusted confidant in the case of my dad, right? And in a place that I don't take for granted, because I'm surrounded by people who don't have good relationships with their dad. And I was one of those people who for a very long time had a really strained relationship with my dad. And through his effort and my effort over the past decade and individual recovery and everything like that, and their effort in just growing and a lot of their changes too, right? We've been able to get to a point where I felt comfortable enough where it was actually felt good to cry in front of my dad, right? And I thought we had a good conversation about, like, you know, some of those more esoteric life concepts of, like, what is life, you know, and what does it mean to rest, right? You know, things that, You know, I know that the last time that I only really talk about my dad when I talked about with like grandpa, you know, and like when we lost his dad, right? So to be able to be in that space, right, to have a breakdown in a car ride with my dad, and the last time I remember, I've had many memorable car rides with my dad, and a lot of them aren't great memories because they involve certain life traumas, right? Whether it was drug tests or X, Y, and Z, different things. Being able to have one that was positive was different. And I think is more of a testament, again, to the change that has happened. I don't think either of us are fundamentally different people. But we've chosen to grow in a certain way to respect with where each other is at least. And I've been able to get to the point of emotional intelligence to be able to be sad, not mad, not have a frustrated or not be happy, but to be able to be sad in front of my dad, which is something I was not expecting.
It's a big moment.
It's something that, and you know where a lot of it, like I said, is because I lost a child, right? I lost my baby. I lost my, at the end, it got really graphic, like we talked about. But over the past 5 years, something I've cared for on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Danny's baby for the past 10 years, right? You know, and she's, again, really struggling, but doing so amazing and actually accepting and acknowledging that grief.
Yeah, the way that she's been moving through this grief has been really profound. And, you know, her and I talked about it a lot the last couple of days of, you know, because we've experienced so much traumatic grief and it's, you know, kind of taught us different things about grief. And, you know, it allows us to foster those environments, nurture those environments for, you know, those that we love, you know, to help, you know, you process through this. And
well, that's why I can be present. And it's because of those spaces that I'm able to, like, I've been able to navigate my personal journey into a place, at least, right, where I can have that space.
Yeah.
And that's what allows me to be present with some of these other life things that, you know, is going on.
Yeah.
Where, you know, where all their concern right now is to worry about, like, healing themselves right now.
Yes.
You know, it allows me to be present in these different ways because, like, that, because of these different healing journeys that we're all at in our different spots, right? And just as like, that's what I think having a chosen family or in a blood family or at all, that's all about is like that when we can pick up that, not the slack, that's not what it is, but like we can be present and show up for them in these different ways.
It can help pick up the rope. Like I envision it like tug of war, right? Like you're kind of going at it with yourself. And so like your mind and your heart and your like, your hardships are on one end and you're over here picking up the rope, trying to pull and win the game. And here we are, your chosen family and your family and those who love and support you help picking up that rope to help you pull and to not necessarily get over, but to feel and to move through.
In the most plain way, simple. Mm-hmm. I've noticed in my, you know, nearly 30 years here, what it means for people to be distracted and not hear and deal with mental health struggles.
Yes.
And to have someone physically present and not hear. I understand what it's like to incorporate someone who is zoning out for days on end on their phone because that's the only thing that quiets their mind.
Yeah.
And they don't even realize it. I understand what it's like to have someone who's dealing with chronic pain on a daily basis, right? And go out and deal with the sun. I understand what it's like to have all these invisible things in both my friends and family and my partner and myself and with my addiction and OCD stuff and those intrusive thoughts and you with the things you talk about, right? I see what those things are and what it's like for people to like just straight up not be here when they are here.
Yeah.
And how hard that is in life. And so what I think creating these safe places and what creating a network of resiliency does is it means that you can take these when I'm not okay, Danny can show up for me in a way and be present to help get me to the next spot. When you're not hurting away, I can show up to you and chauffeur you around or do whatever I need to do to be present for you to get you to the next spot of being okay. That's what community and being with these family and having these safe places is all about because there's so many people out there that hurt unintentionally. I don't think most people are intentional bad actors. I think a lot of people are just trying to survive and that hurts a lot of other people. I think that taking the time to really slow down and make those spaces intentional spaces of healing is really hard to do in this world. But I think taking the time, like what we're doing here, at least for example, because all we can do is talk about our experience and share about it from our perspective, right? And taking that time to slow down to be able to show up in those individual networks, right? And to be able to heal each other, right? And to be able to show up. That's what it's about. That's why losing a fucking dog sucks. Yes. Well, make sure she has a space to grieve. Life doesn't stop, though. And I'm in a different position where I'm still active in my grief. Mm-hmm. And I can still show up for these other ways things. That's what you do.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's not easy showing up when you're in the midst of those griefs. It's not easy to show up in the midst of whatever, like, you know, you're going through. But, you know, it's so difficult because life doesn't stop. And no. You're like, I wish it would. I wish it would just for one day. But
it doesn't.
And
you can do your best to build quiet. It keeps going now.
So the most that you can do is just ensure that you have safe spaces to turn to when you're in those moments of doubt, of fear, of anger, of happiness, of joy, of sadness, of, you know, whatever
emotion. You can always start dealing with things.
Yeah, always.
You can always come back.
Yeah.
That's why you don't blow everything up or run into the void and you go to those networks exactly. Because when you're able to show up for those things one thing at a time, you make those things that are impossible possible.
Yeah.
And getting through grief while dealing with a car and financial situations and stuff like that. Because we're not all going to be perfect at the same time. Like those like when we cook your first pass, that's why just having you guys be over was so important because it just kept us eating.
Yes.
Like literally just eating because like me and Danny were eating on our own. But we were able to get food in us when we were able to present it with you and everything like that, right? That's the whole point. It's like, because you take it one step to, that's what recovery is about. That's what resiliency is all about, right? That's why you can always, you have to deal with it, accept the consequences of your causes and conditions in your current state of reality, but you can always build a path forward from that.
Absolutely. And it's what you do with that path forward that really helps you shape your decisions going forward. It's what really helps shape those continuous relationships that go alongside with you.
Smoke weed every day.
Heck yeah. She says, even though she hasn't been smoking weed every day.
Yeah, but you're dealing currently with migraines.
Yeah.
And as you're aware, traveler. Well, you might not be aware, traveler. Depending on the strand, it either helps or doesn't help migraines. And as an overabundance of precaution, Sam is making the very rational adult decision just to refrain.
Yeah.
As I am currently blowing a cloud of vaporized THC in their face. So do with that information what you will. Mm-hmm. I'm really proud of them right now for taking care of their health and recovery. Obviously, I'm a shitty nurse.
No, you took me to McDonald's. You're a great nurse.
I got you the caffeine. I got you food. I got you to the next. I just do what I can.
Yeah, you got me to the point where, you know, the pain has thankfully subsided a substantial amount since this morning. However, it's still there. But, you know.
Just trying to get manageable levels from chronic pain.
I can do homework tonight, and that's important, which it's going to suck, but.
Well, we take each other to the next step. You've helped me plenty of times. Trust me, I get it.
Exactly. Well, Tal.
Traveler.
I hope that your vulnerabilities help set you free, and I hope that they continue to help you build that bridge to your next path of life, and I hope that you can allow yourself to be vulnerable, not only to yourself, but maybe to a chosen person, maybe to whoever you're sitting next to at a bar, you know?
Make sure that I will say this with one precondition.
Yes.
Make sure these people respond to you with kindness and compassion. That's how you can tell if they should be in that inner circle or not. If their response towards you is to treat you with compassion, that's probably a good indication.
I would have to agree. And it's always okay to ask, hey, are you in a space to hear me right now? I'm going through a tough time.
Or you can always ask someone plain and simple, are you in a space to fist me right now?
Yes, that is also a valid question. Tom, thank you so much for bringing it full circle.
Sorry, I know that joke doesn't land because you're on the other side of this podcast right now. But just to have Sam like do the full face collapse, like just like a shame right there, was the entire point of that right now. And I know, again, I apologize, Traveler. I understand that physical comedy doesn't translate into an audio medium, especially if you're watching this podcast and just looking at a blinking eye at you right now. With my little pixel art to shit, right? But thank you, Sam. Thank you for fulfilling my need right there and just the dumb reaction because I need that dad humor. I might not be male anymore, but I still present masculine when it comes to my humor.
Hey, I'll do dad jokes and dad humor all day with you any day, no matter where we're at in life.
That was a bad dad joke. That was a dirty dad joke.
That was a dirty dad joke. Oh, God. Well, Traveler, thank you for joining us. We hope that your drink, your meal,
your mead, your meal,
company is as cozy as you need.
Samantha, thank you for dealing with me at the end here. Mm-hmm. As always, I appreciate you and your existence.
Likewise.
You are always a pleasure to have around, and I, as always, as you're dealing with this chronic pain right now, I look forward for the next place of stability. I'm going to throw some magnesium at you and hope that helps.
I did start taking a daily vitamin.
We're cured. We did it.
We're cured.
We're done. We had that ogre stew. The onions have been peeled back.
The ogre stew, the vitamins, the onions. It's good.
It's all good. It's all good in the hood. Shrek the Ogre Lord, we pray to you. Cookie, if you are listening. Sandy, if you are listening, we pray to our ancestors. We want to acknowledge you and love you in the whatever transition of light you are in your next light. We will keep lighting an incense for you so you can always find your way home. We will always cherish you in our hearts. Traveler, wherever you might be, remember, you are indeed fucking worth it. You are indeed loved. Make sure to be responding with compassion both towards yourself and other people. And with that, you are loved.
Once more.